Divination is the practice of seeking knowledge of the future, usually by the interpretation of omens or by the aid of supernatural powers. Millions of people around the world believe in divination and live their lives according to the utterances of soothsayers, the shuffle of tarot cards, and the stains of tea leaves. One of the oldest and most popular methods of divination in use today is astrology. Astrology is the study of the movement of celestial objects in order to try and gain insight into human affairs and world events. There are many different types of astrology, but by far the most sophisticated system can be found in Hinduism and is known as Jyotish. The word Jyotish is derived from Sanskrit and means the science of heavenly bodies. It is an ancient tradition that continues to influence the lives of millions of people today. The Indian astronomer Balakandra Rao remarked, "The belief in astrology among our masses is so deep that for every trivial decision in their personal lives, they readily rush to the astrologers with their horoscopes." Can astrology really be used to accurately predict the future? From a scientific perspective, some celestial bodies do indeed exert unseen forces on our planet. One example being the influence of the moon's gravity on Earth's tides. It is one thing to explain the effect of celestial bodies by means of physics and other sciences of astronomy, but it's an entirely different matter to claim that they can be used to accurately predict human affairs and world events. Indian authorities have gone so far as to treat Jyotish as a scientific discipline. The University Grants Commission stated, "There is an urgent need to rejuvenate the science of Vedic astrology in India, to allow this scientific knowledge to reach the society at large, and provide opportunities to get this important science even exported to the world." Now, in order to be considered a valid scientific discipline, Jyotish must fulfill the basic requirement of a scientific theory. It must stand up to rigorous testing. Jayant Narlikar, India's most eminent astrophysicist, conducted an experiment to test the claim that intelligence can be determined from a person's horoscope. The experiment involved collecting the birth details of 100 highly intelligent school children, Group A, and 100 intellectually disabled children, Group B. These birth details were then used to cast horoscopes for the children. The horoscopes were then mixed and randomized and sent to 27 experienced astrologers, who were asked to try and match the horoscopes to the correct group of children. The average astrologer actually had a success rate of 43%. In order to appreciate just how poor this is, imagine that a random group of non-astrologers were asked to guess blindly. They would have an average success rate of 50%, since there are only two outcomes: the child is intelligent or the child is intellectually disabled. This is still a better outcome than the astrologers who average 43%, a result which is worse than pure guesswork. Not only does this demonstrate that astrology fails to stand up to scrutiny as a scientific discipline, it also shows that astrologers do not have any special insights. If astrology cannot even make accurate predictions for matters in the present, then it stands to reason that it most certainly cannot accurately predict the future. Even from a sociological perspective, the claims of astrology collapse. Practitioners of Jyotish come up with detailed horoscopes by taking into account the location, date, and time of a person's birth. The astrological implication is that every person who is born at the same time and place will all have identical horoscopes and therefore should share similar personalities and fates. Yet clinical studies have shown that this is not the case, even when dealing with identical twins, despite the fact that they have identical genes, shared the same womb, and experienced similar childhoods. Professor Tim Spector, head of twin research at King's College, London, has been carrying out a pioneering 20-year study involving thousands of identical twins. He concluded, "We see it in so many different ways. For example, our research has shown that twins rarely die of the same disease. Most of the twins recruited to our study went to the same school and lived together, eating the same food for the first 18 or so years of their lives. But the outcomes of their lives are often very different indeed." We can see that even from a sociological perspective, Jyotish falls apart in terms of its predictability. Now, astrologers typically respond by explaining that a difference of just a few minutes between the birth times of individuals can result in vastly different horoscopes, and hence accounts for the variations observed in the lives of identical twins. The problem with this response is that it does not account for the phenomenon of conjoined twins, whereby two individuals are born sharing a single body, and therefore have an identical birth time and horoscope, and yet end up having vastly different personalities and fates. There are cases where conjoined twins are surgically separated, with only one twin surviving and going on to lead a normal life. From an astrological perspective, this makes zero sense given their identical horoscopes. Hindu astrologers who believe in reincarnation will appeal to the concept of karma in order to explain away this issue. They will argue that each soul's accumulated karmas from numerous past lives also influence an individual's personality and fate, and therefore can account for all such differences, even among conjoined twins. The problem with this explanation is that our past lives and karmas are variables that are unknown to astrologers, and hence any predictions they make through Jyotish are completely undermined by factors that are unquantifiable. What all this demonstrates is that using the planets and stars to predict the future has little basis in reality. Now, people might think, astrology is just a bit of fun, where is the harm? From an Islamic perspective, believing that the planets and stars influence or determine our fate is idolatrous. Even just dabbling in astrology by reading your horoscope in a newspaper is a very serious matter. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "Whoever seeks knowledge from the stars is seeking one of the branches of magic." Now, putting aside the failures of astrology, this does not mean that all methods of divination are baseless. Although the practice is strictly forbidden in Islam, there is one method of divination which does grant limited access to the unseen, that of soothsayers. The 19th century occultist, Helena Blavatsky, is the perfect case study to illustrate this. Let's take a look at one of her prophecies. "England is on the eve of such or another catastrophe. France, nearing such a point of her cycle, and Europe in general threatened with, or rather on the eve of, a cataclysm." This prophecy about a coming disaster in Europe was first published in the year 1888, which is 26 years prior to the outbreak of the two world wars. Blavatsky elaborated on the specific events that would take place in a prophecy published in her monthly journal called Lucifer. "A camp filled with war chariots, neighing horses, and legions of long-haired soldiers. Further on, calm and serene in its perfidious beauty, the open sea stretches far and wide. Truly the monumentless cemetery of the millions sunk in its depths. The sight of his snorting steed pleases him no longer. The recollections of guns and banners wrested from the enemy, of cities razed, of trenches, cannons, and tents, of an array of conquered spoils now stirs but little his national pride. Visions of another kind now haunt his weary days and long sleepless nights. What he now sees is a throng of bayonets clashing against each other in a mist of smoke and blood, thousands of mangled corpses covering the ground, torn and cut to shreds by the murderous weapons devised by science and civilization. 20 million of men dead now to all spiritual aspiration and soul life. A people, henceforth deaf to the peaceful voice of the honest citizen's duty, averse to a life of peace, blind to the arts and literature, indifferent to all but lucre and ambition. What is thy future kingdom now? A legion of war puppets as units. A great wild beast in their collectivity, a beast that, like the sea yonder, slumbers gloomily now, but to fall with more fury on the first enemy that is indicated to it. Indicated by whom? It is as though a heartless, proud fiend, assuming sudden authority, incarnate ambition and power, had clutched with iron hand the minds of a whole country. By what wicked enchantment has he brought the people back to those primeval days of the nation when their ancestors, the yellow-haired Suevi and the treacherous Franks, roamed about in their warlike spirit, thirsting to kill, to decimate and subject each other? By what infernal powers has this been accomplished? Yet the transformation has been produced, and it is as undeniable as the fact that alone the fiend rejoices and boasts of the transformation effected. The whole world is hushed in breathless expectation. Not a wife or mother, but is haunted in her dreams by the black and ominous storm cloud that overhangs the whole of Europe. The cloud is approaching. It comes nearer and nearer. Oh, woe and horror. He is suddenly transported into what looks like a fairy-like hall, lit with most glowing lights, and built of materials, the like of which he had never seen before. He perceives the heirs and descendants of all the monarchs of the globe gathered in that hall in one happy family. The crowns, by authority and the grace of God, have been thrown off, and they now rule by the grace of divine humanity, chosen unanimously by recognition of their fitness to rule and the reverential love of their voluntary subjects. Let's now analyse this prophecy in detail. It sets the scene by painting a very bleak picture. The mention of a monumentless cemetery of millions and razed cities points to a devastating conflict that has desolated mankind. This is an accurate description of the First World War, which raged from 1914 to 1919, and left in its wake the destruction of Europe and millions of dead and wounded. The prophecy goes on to speak of ominous visions of bayonets, smoke, and blood that haunt the dreams, which points to another violent conflict looming on the horizon. This foretells the outbreak of the Second World War, which took place 20 years after the first. Both of these global conflicts resulted in more death and destruction than any other in history. The reason for this was the new weapons technology that had been developed at the time. Innovations such as chemical weapons and the atomic bomb meant that entire towns and cities could be decimated in an instant. The prophecy may be alluding to this with the mention of new murderous weapons devised by science. Notice how a people are said to be blind to peace. They are characterized as war puppets in slumber who are ready to fall back into conflict at the first opportunity. This situation perfectly describes the downtrodden state of the German people in the aftermath of the First World War. When Germany lost the war, they were forced to sign a humiliating peace treaty, which caused great resentment among the German people. This resentment was a direct causal factor that led to the outbreak of the Second World War. Germany was, indeed, a sleeping giant thirsty for revenge. The prophecy goes on to describe an ambitious fiend who will have a sudden rise to power and hold a strong grip on the minds of an entire nation. This perfectly mirrors the advent of Adolf Hitler, who rapidly rose to power in Germany as the leader of the Nazi Party. He went from an obscure politician to being the dominant force in German politics in just a few short years. He was an eloquent public speaker and skillful propagandist who bewitched the German people. The prophecy goes on to mention Suevi and Franks, which were Germanic tribes, and hence Germany is identified as the fiend's nationality. The fiend is also said to rejoice and boast of the transformation he has brought about in his nation. Again, this perfectly mirrors Hitler, who brought about an astonishing revival in Germany by transforming it from bankruptcy into the economic and military superpower of Europe in just a few short years. The prophecy then describes the reaction of the world, which is said to be hushed in breathless expectation, as it watches the fiend who is said to hang over Europe like an ominous storm cloud. This perfectly describes the world's feeling of dread just prior to the outbreak of the Second World War. A weak and divided West had tried and failed to appease an ambitious Hitler, who carried on aggressively expanding Germany's territory. A wide-scale conflict then became a matter of when, not if. The world could only watch on in horror as it hurtled towards another inevitable war. The prophecy next fast forwards to a time after the war when the world is said to be in a state of peace, as if one happy family. The monarch's crowns, a symbol of their authority, are said to have been thrown off, and leaders are now given rulership by unanimous recognition of their voluntary subjects. This mirrors the post-Second World War era, which saw Europe enter into an unprecedented period of peace, thanks to treaties such as NATO and economic political alliances such as the European Union. It also mirrors the world's transition away from empires and monarchies to modern nation-states ruled by democracy. In summary, we can see that this prophecy accurately foretold the outbreak of both world wars, along with some key events surrounding them. The prophecy is so detailed that it goes beyond guesswork and coincidence. So what is Blavatsky's explanation for how she gained such an insight into the future? She claimed that there is a special dimension or plane of existence known as the astral light. It is the great picture gallery of eternity, a faithful record of every act and even thought of man, of all that was, is, or ever will be in the phenomenal universe. We can see that Blavatsky spoke of astral light as a kind of cosmic hard drive that has a permanent record of all thoughts and actions of man. By accessing the astral light, one is able to access any information about the past, present, or future. Let's now put this claim to the test by analysing more of her prophecies. Blavatsky had this to say about the reception of her works. No one styling himself a scholar in whatever department of exact science will be permitted to regard these teachings seriously. They will be derided and rejected a priori in this century, but only in this one. For in the 20th century of our era, scholars will begin to recognise that the secret doctrine has neither been invented nor exaggerated. Here Blavatsky claimed that scientists would initially reject her esoteric teachings. However, they would come to be respected in the 20th century. With the 20th century having passed by, it's safe to say that this is a failed prophecy. Blavatsky, in her writings, touches upon numerous academic fields such as biology, sociology, religion, and history. No mainstream scholar in any of these academic disciplines have come to agree with or even take seriously the claims she put forward in her writings. Another example of a failed prophecy is the following, in which Blavatsky spoke of an individual called Paracelsus. Now, if we recollect how they have deprecated Paracelsus and his theory of man and the stars being composed of like substances, how ridiculed he was by astronomers and physicists for his ideas of chemical affinity and attraction between the two, and then realise that the spectroscope has vindicated one of his assertions at least. Is it so absurd to prophesy that in time all the rest of his theories will be substantiated? We can see that Blavatsky thought very highly of Paracelsus, who was a 16th century Swiss physician, alchemist and philosopher. Blavatsky claimed that all of Paracelsus's theories would eventually be proven true and accepted by scientists. Paracelsus was ahead of his time, and while he did have an influence in medical reform, he actually came up with many theories about diseases, which have been categorically disproven and rejected by the scientific community. For example, the idea that diseases are caused by the exhalation of distant stars and transported to Earth by means of celestial rays. In summary, we can see that Blavatsky's claims about astral light fails as an explanation for her prophetic insights. This is because multiple inaccurate predictions contradict her claims of having access to a perfect record of the future. How can we explain the hit-and-miss nature of her prophecies? How is it that she could make detailed, accurate predictions that go beyond guesswork or coincidence on the one hand, while also making massive blunders on the other? The religion of Islam reveals the diabolical mechanism by which soothsayers operate. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "While the angels talk amidst the clouds about things that are going to happen on earth, the devils hear a word of what they say and pour it in the ears of a fortune teller, and they add 100 lies to that one word." Here we are informed that the devils among the jinn have access to some knowledge of the unseen by eavesdropping on the angels in the heavens for news that they can pass on to soothsayers here on earth. We are told that these devils do not share this knowledge in uncorrupted form. They are said to mix each truth with numerous lies, which perfectly explains the hit-and-miss nature of the soothsayers' predictions. Another aspect to consider is the nature of the prophecies put forward by soothsayers. If they really do have access to realms that contain a perfect record of the future, then why is it that they do not get insanely rich by correctly predicting the lottery numbers? The reality is that many soothsayers struggle to make a living by charging people money for personalized readings. This situation actually supports Islam's claims about the devils snatching the information from the angels. This is because in the Islamic narrative, angels are noble beings who fear God and never disobey him. So, if you think about it, angels would be unlikely to discuss trivial or frivolous matters such as the outcome of the lottery. However, we would expect them to discuss matters of significance such as war, death, and other such momentous events that impact human beings here on earth. This perfectly explains the limitations of soothsayers who cannot go beyond the topics of conversation of the angels. The Quran alludes to these personality traits of the angels when it recounts a conversation between them and God. And mention, O Muhammad, when your Lord said to the angels, "Indeed, I will make upon the earth a Khalifa, a successor, or generations of man, one following another." They, the angels, said, "Will you place upon it one who causes corruption therein and sheds blood, while we exalt you with praise and declare your perfection?" He, God, said, "Indeed, I know that which you do not know." Here we are informed that the angels became concerned with the news of man's creation and authority on earth, and questioned God about the corruption and bloodshed that would follow. So we can see that far from being mindless robots, angels are in fact beings endowed with intelligence and curiosity, who would naturally discuss the actions of man on earth. In conclusion, this video has demonstrated that Islam has a deep insight into the world of divination, and better explains the observations and experiences of soothsayers than occultism is able to offer. This is because Allah, God Almighty, is the one who revealed the Quran and inspired Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Quran declares, "Indeed, Allah knows the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is seeing of what you do." To learn more about divination from an Islamic perspective, please download your free copy of the book, The Forbidden Prophecies, at the link below.